Hallelujah.
Yep. Give praise today. Hallelujah. You know, that's all he wants from us today, church, is a heart that sings hallelujah. That's all he requires. He doesn't need anything else from us. He just wants a willing heart today. And as we walked into the worship center, tuned in on the broadcast for this church, you know, we have all these perceptions of how we come into God's house and what he requires and the expectation. And church, I'm going to tell you something. There is no expectation. He just wants you to come in with a willing heart. Today, church, I just challenge us to do that on Mother's Day and to come in and have a willing heart. Many of you have very fond memories of Mom, and some of you have a rough relationship with Mom on this Mother's Day. And I have wonderful memories, and I have some tough ones, too, because my mom and I had been through some very difficult adversity, really tough battles and situations. But my mom was strength. You're going to hear a very strong woman today preach about God's protection. She's going to be preaching out of Psalm 91, and there's a phrase in Psalm 91, verse 4, says, "He will cover you." It is the only time in Scripture where it says that exact phrase. Now, there's references of this all through the Bible, but that phrase shows up, and you're going to learn about that today. He will cover you. It's about sheltering in place, hunkering down, and he's going to just put this covering like an umbrella over top of you and protect you and keep you safe. Aren't you happy that happens today, church? And there's kind of three words there that I can see when I read that scripture and not Psalm 91. And there's this word that comes to mind, fierce. And that whole passage talks about God can be fierce and your protection can be fierce. And the mom's protection over our lives can be fierce protection. I've experienced that. There's another word that reminds me of that passage of God's protection. And mom's protection is the word attentive. Moms can be very attentive. Probably a little, for me, probably a little bit more attentive than I liked when I was growing up. Now, how in the world did she know what she knew when I never told her? Right? I never say a word and she just knew. And I remember the phrase, "Where did you go last night?" Oh, man, I don't want to, you know. Many of you know I wasn't serving Jesus in high school, but she'd say, "Where did you go?" Because my mom was very ill when I was in high school, and I would put her to bed. I literally had to put mom in bed, and she would get to bed about 8 or 9 o'clock, and I was free. I could go do what I want. You know, 16, 17 years old, that's a danger zone right there, right? And she would say, "Where were you last night? What did you do?" And then she would go and start telling me things that I knew. I was out. I wasn't a bad kid. I wasn't out doing anything I really should have been doing, but I was out doing some things that I probably didn't want to discuss with mom and just kind of hanging out with friends and never got in trouble or anything, but we would stay out late and just kind of chill and hang out at the local places where the teenagers hung out. And she would just ask those questions. She was extremely attentive, very attentive. Another word that shows up in that scripture that I see is the word tender. Moms can be very tender. Fierce, attentive, and tender, just like our Father in heaven, right? Can be very tender with us. And then that covering reminds me of what it speaks of moms over in Proverbs 31. The Bible says that God has clothed her in strength. My mom had a lot of strength, and you probably know your moms had a lot of strength. And boy, I am so happy today, church, that my mom had tremendous strength to get through what she had to get through. Today, my heart is tender for my mom, who's no longer with us. And many of you have lost your moms, but we can still remember the good times and forgive the challenging times. And I just want to say a special prayer today for our moms. and all of us, but all the ladies, but specifically the moms, because it's a tough job to do. So let's just gather together and just focus in, and let's just believe that we have forgiveness in our hearts for the things our moms did that weren't so great, but we have a tender heart because of the things they did. And let's just go to heaven and say thank you. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for the strength that my mom had. I thank you, Lord God, for the strength of many of the women, all women, whether they're moms or not, here at Cross Point Church. Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord God, that you clothe them in strength. Lord, thank you for that. Because as many of us know, we realize that the mother is the strength in the family, Lord. But today it seems like the family has been broken down. But Lord God, we pray today, not only for moms, but we pray for all ladies today. We thank you, Lord God, that you clothe them in strength. We thank you, Lord God, that you call them by name. We thank you, Lord God, that it just seems like they are the ones that hold us all together. They hold the family together, regardless of what the family looks like. Lord, I pray right now for some of us that have some challenges with our relationship with our moms. Lord God, I pray forgiveness today. I pray, Lord God, that we can forgive. Lord, I thank you that I was able to do that many, many, many years ago, to forgive my mom for some things that challenged me, that hurt me, Lord God. I thank you that she turned out to be the best mom ever. And Lord God, I just pray for all the ladies today, Lord, that you continue to clothe them in strength, Lord God. In the mighty, mighty name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Church, give all the moms a praise offering today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As you're seated, look at somebody and say, Happy Mom's Day. Regardless of whether they're a mom, we could just celebrate everyone together. Can we not? Hallelujah. Okay. Thank you, Dano. Our trusty assistant, Charles, bringing up a water for my lovely wife today because I'm not preaching today. Good morning, Cross Point Church. How are we today? I have a special announcement for you today. You might get really excited. That probably be the biggest praise of, you know, clapping that we have ever heard in this church. I am the lead pastor, but you don't have to listen to me today. Yeah, right. See, I knew it. I knew it. Welcome. I'm Brad Myers, lead pastor here at Cross Point Church, and I serve the best church that any pastor could serve. I am blessed. I know I am blessed. I am blessed because I have the greatest church family that takes care of me, and we love on you so much. This is just a fantastic church. If you're looking for a church, you have come into the right place. And after you hear the message today, you will walk out and say, I've got to go back, right? Hey, welcome. Hey, welcome. If you're watching online, my goodness, there are so many people watching online today. As you know, we have a broadcast ministry here at Cross Point. Broadcasting to the website, to Facebook page, to YouTube. Goodness, what else do we broadcast to? There's more to come. You just don't know about that yet, but you're going to hear about that throughout the summer and into the early fall. If you're listening to this broadcast on the podcast that we put out throughout the week, welcome to Mother's Day at Cross Point Church. We're so happy that you joined us, even if you're joining us on the podcast later in the week. We are so blessed. It is a great day. Hey, God gave us a great day, right? Gave us a great sunny day. It's really nice. But, you know, something happened yesterday that was really cool, and I just want to bring it up before I introduce my wife. It was really cool that we had some people here at Cross Point Church graduate from Malone University. Yeah, give them praise, yeah. Now, listen, I know that we're going to recognize graduates in a few weeks. And check your bulletin. Pastor Mike talked about that. And you're going to have a blessing here in a few weeks. We're going to recognize if you're graduating from any higher education or high school, any kind of educational situation, you're graduating. We want to honor you. So you want to follow up with a bulletin announcement and QR code and sign up and do all those things. We would love to honor you. But, you know, we have a special partnership with Malone University next door. You know that. We've been doing that for a number of years. We have the Malone Student Scholarship Fund here, and you know, we've got people that are recipients of that, have been so in the last few years, and continue to be recipients. But you know, I just want to recognize some people. Now, I know that they're here today because I had the opportunity to talk to them. So if you graduated from Malone University yesterday, do me a favor, stand. We love to just recognize you. Stand up. There they are. There they are. Yep. Caitlin Taylor over there, and Jenny White right here in the front where the Spirit moves the mightiest, right here. Caitlin now has been with us for, 3 years, Caitlin? About 4 years? LG, her boss, tells her 4 years. So, but you know, I'm so honored that her mom came all the way from New Guinea, right? New Guinea. Her mom is a missionary in New Guinea. Cross Point Church, give her a praise offering today and say thank you for that. Thank you. I believe her brother is here. Is that her brother? I believe. Is that the brother? Yep. I met them this morning. Yep. And our very own Jenny White, who told me this morning she's not just going to settle for an undergraduate degree from Malone. All right. I knew that. She said she was going on to her master's. I knew that. She's already in master's classes. Right, Jenny? You're already doing your master's classes. But here's something I heard today that kind of makes me like go, oh. She says, I'm going after my PhD. Yeah, give her up. Yeah, give her praise for that. That's a big accomplishment, right? Many of you are wondering what's going to happen with, like, Caitlin Taylor, who, you know, shows up and starts attending church here from Malone. And Caitlin's told us that she's going to stick around Canton, Ohio here for a while because she likes Canton, Ohio. Why? It's the vacation capital of the entire world, right? It is great. Oh, folks, listen, you are in for a treat today. Not just because your pastor's not preaching, but you're in for a better opportunity to hear somebody that has just been anointed to preach God's word one time a year on Mother's Day. I'm just spending a little extra time. She said, Pastor, make sure you give me some extra time. Singing all morning. They had rehearsal this morning at 8 o'clock. She sang worship. She is the worship pastor here at the church. The best gift that she gives is being my lovely wife, pastoring alongside me here at Cross Point Church, I am so honored and I am so blessed to welcome to this pulpit at this church my wife, the worship pastor of Cross Point, Nicole Myers.
Well, that was quite the introduction. I hope I can live up to that. He's right. I am called to do this one time a year. As you all know, this stresses me out quite a bit. But happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. Happy Mother's Day to my mama out there in the third row from the back. And I always begin my message by saying, I know this is a day with a full spectrum of emotions for many people. You can have the highest high on Mother's Day, and you can feel the lowest low, and you might feel them all at the same time today. You might have lost your mom. You might have lost a child. You might be estranged from your mom or estranged from a child. You might be battling fertility issues and desperately want a child. So I know there is a gamut of emotions that goes into this day. But I want you to know that your Heavenly Father loves you with an everlasting love. And that love can cover all of those feelings. So my message today is the protector, living under the covering of God and how a mother's heart reflects that protector of our Lord. And I'm always amazed, and I shouldn't be because we serve an amazing God, but I'm always amazed at how he puts things together. And I've been, you know, knowing this was coming, my once a year, and grabbing notes here and there, and things I would hear on Christian radio that I would be like, oh, that's really good. I would jot things down. And as I began to put it all together, and I felt a theme coming together, then Pastor did his two-week series on breaking out of the status quo and hungering for more of the presence of God. And you know, one of the blessings of the presence of God is the protection of God. Our God is a fierce protector of his children. just like we as moms are called to be fierce protectors of those he puts in our care. And maybe you're a spiritual mom or a spiritual mentor to kids that really biologically aren't even your own, but you are called to protect those that he puts in your care. And this thought will be on the screen. The more we hunger for his presence and abide in his word, making him our life and dwelling place, the greater our peace and deliverance in times of trouble. How many of you know, if you haven't already, you will experience times of trouble? Amen? Only then will our security and true joy be found not in circumstances, but in the unwavering presence and authority of God, our protector. And I want to share a story with you that happened back in 2010. And LG, you might know this story. This occurred in Haiti. There was a devastating earthquake, and all the buildings had crumbled, and thousands of people were trapped beneath the rubble. And among them was a 7-year-old little girl named Kiki, and she was actually pinned inside her school building. The rescue teams had searched for a couple days, and at this point, they had very little hope for any survivors. But after 2 full days, they heard cries somewhere beneath the rubble of this school. And against all odds, they found this 7-year-old girl, not just alive, but with no injuries and lying under a cement slab that should have completely crushed her. When they asked her how she survived, this is what the little 7-year-old said. I prayed. I asked Jesus to keep me safe. He laid down next to me, and he never left me. Oh boy, if we can't learn something from a 7-year-old's faith. Later, the engineers discovered something really strange. A beam had fallen in exactly the right spot to form a pocket of protection, just enough that she could breathe and survive. If that beam had gone a few inches in either direction, she would not be here today. Church, there is a power greater than chance. This thought will be on the screen. There's a presence deeper than fear, and there's a protector, our God, who does not sleep or slumber. So today, I want to talk to you about that God who crawls into the rubble with you and holds your life together when everything seems to be falling apart. And Pastor knows this happened just about a week or so ago. I actually started to sit down and write this out. I had all these random thoughts on my phone and in my car and just all over the place. And I had what I thought was a decent title, but I wasn't completely settled on it. And I even shared with him, how do you feel about this? He's like, I don't know. I'm not feeling great about it either. So I went into the office, sat at my computer, and started to pray. And I just said, God, help me put this all together. I've got all these thoughts. Give me something so I know I'm moving in the right direction. And no sooner did I say amen and the word protector popped into my head. I thought, oh, I like that title. I can go with that. And he said to me, no, there's also a song. I thought, a song. And he said, and you have it. Like, I do? Now, let me tell you, folks, many of you text me songs, send me songs. I have hundreds of songs in a file that you've never heard because we can't do them all. So sure enough, I go to my file, and there is a song I saved 3 years ago called Protector. And some of the words are, Protector, you never, never, never let me go. How many of you know that that's the kind of protector you have? You hide me in the shadow of your wings. Your presence is my peace, my covering, my song in the night. And Psalm 91, 1 through 7 is the scripture God had already given me, and this entire song is based on this scripture. And let me read it to you. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say or declare of the Lord, He is my refuge, He is my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely He will save you from the fowler's snare or I like to use the word trap, and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampart. You will not fear the terror of night. How many of you are afraid of the dark? I can admit that I am one of those people, but it says we don't have to fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the disaster that strikes at midday. And moms, let me tell you, we are called to protect our children the way God protects us. Let me say that again. We are called to protect our children, or those in our care, those that we spiritually mentor, the way that God protects us. Let me go back to Psalm 91, verse 4 again. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. I'm sure you've seen those geese or mother hens that are out and about in the parking lots. I've seen them at Walmart already. And you see them gather their little chicks under their wings, because moms become a place of safety, both physically and as human moms, spiritually. A mother is often the first protector we ever know. She stands in the gap. She stays up late when we're sick. She prays when we're far away. And I can speak to this one. I know whenever I drive far for work, or when Pastor and I are on the motorcycle, or when I'm flying somewhere, my mother does not stop praying until she gets the text that says, I've landed, I'm at my hotel, we're at the restaurant, the bike is in the garage, whatever it might be. I know that's what my mom does for me. And I know when my oldest travels for work sometimes, and I know when he's flying just this past week, I breathed that sigh of relief when I got that text, landed, mom. That's the kind of moms we need to be. Moms fight battles in the spiritual and emotional realm long before we ever face them ourselves. Deuteronomy 3:16 says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes before you. He will never leave you and never forsake you. I love that scripture, and it makes me think about our physical protection. But as I was doing my reading, I discovered that there is something even more important than our physical beings that must be protected. It is the gospel of the grace of God. That is the treasure that Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians 4:7. It says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. And I love this part, as hard it is as it is. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not abandoned. We are struck down, but not destroyed. And as Jeannie I see sitting out here, and I love this saying, and I end this scripture with, but God. All of those things, folks, we face. He does not promise us a perfect, easy life, but with everything, every single one of those, it says, but not this, but not that. Our God is a fierce protector. Amazingly, when you think about it, he deposits that treasure of the gospel, of the grace of God in us, fragile, earthly, sinful vessels that are subject to the relentless ways of the world and the attacks of the enemy. But Paul says this treasure is protected so that the life of Jesus may be manifest in our mortal flesh. I don't know about you, church, but that gets me excited, and that gives me strength to know that my God protects the treasure that he put in me. So I want to encourage you this morning that whenever you are feeling the pressures of life, and let's face it, mom, there's a lot we moms do, and we feel a lot of pressure to get a lot of things done. Remember that if you are God's child by faith in Christ, God has committed to protecting the treasure that he has deposited in you. And I love this quote from Sarah Jakes Roberts. Grace is not the absence of struggle. It is the presence of protection. So how can we fully experience this protection that God promises us? I'm going to tell you folks, the first way is by the power of agreement. We need to align what we speak over ourselves and over our children and over our families with the truth of God's word. And as moms, we are called to be the voice that speaks truth when a lie is trying to take hold in your child's life. We've all had kids come home from school and someone said something unkind. You're not good enough. You're not pretty enough. You're fat. You're ugly. You can't be on the team. You don't know how to hit the ball. Whatever it may be, you're not who God made you to be. You're not the gender God made you to be. Folks, we need to pray and speak the truth of God's word over our kids. Many of us first learn to agree with the word of God because a mom, a parent, a grandma, a spiritual mentor taught us how to do that. Those little lives are watching what we do. They're watching our prayer time. They're watching our Bible time. And I want to go back to Psalm 91, verse 2. This is so important, and it jumped out at me this time. I've read the scripture a million times. It says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Notice that phrase, I will say in verse 2. We need to learn to verbalize our trust in God. We need to repeat back to him what he said in verse 1, that he won't leave us, he won't forsake us. He'll be our shelter. We are safe in the shadow of his wings. When we find that stirring up inside of us, that confidence, things change. And please note, we're not told just to think the word. We're told to say the word. Even in Joel chapter 3, verse 10 says, tell the weak to say, I am strong. Folks, we can't rely on our feelings. They're not reliable. We need to speak the word of God over ourselves. The scriptures are full of great men of God, like David and Joshua, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who declared out loud their confessions of faith in dangerous situations. Again, notice what begins to happen to you. If you don't do this, I encourage you to try this. Notice what begins to happen inside of you when you say, Lord, you are my refuge. You are my fortress. You are my God. You and you alone are the one I place my trust in. The more we say it out loud, the more confident we become in his protection. Power is released in saying it out loud. And when we say it and we mean it, we are placing ourselves in his shelter. And equally as important, we are drowning out the lies of the enemy. And this thought will be on the screen. What we agree with spiritually, we give authority to in our lives. So folks, if we are agreeing with fear, we're going to feel in bondage. But if we are agreeing with God's word, we're going to experience peace and freedom. So I would ask you to ask yourselves today, what are you walking in right now? What are you walking in the situations in your life? Are you walking in fear? Or are you walking in faith? Are you speaking the lies of the enemy over your situation? Are you saying, I'll never find the right person for me? My child will never come to the Lord. My child will never come back to the Lord. I'll never get that job I want. I'll never be able to provide for my family. I'll never be able to break those generational curses. I'll never be able to break this addiction. Or are you saying, God, I trust you, and I can't do these things on my own, but I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. David faced Goliath, and he won because he agreed with the power of God that was in him, not the size of his enemy. Amen. We can walk in that agreement of faith today because our God's authority is supreme over every single threat we face. And again, I'll go back to Psalm 91:3. It says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare or trap." I'm going to see how Pastor does this one-handed. Without wearing it, right? Sorry, I'm getting a sore throat. There we go. Let me say that again. "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare or trap and from the deadly pestilence." Isaiah 54:17, a very popular scripture that most of you probably know, "No weapon formed against you shall prosper." Most of you are probably familiar with the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace in Daniel 3. And if you know that story or don't know that story, I'll paraphrase it for you, but basically the king was not pleased that they would not bow down. They only would serve God. And so he told his guards to turn the heat up as high as it could possibly go and throw these three in the furnace. It was so hot that the guards that threw them in were instantly burned to death, like went up in smoke. And shortly on through the story, he looks in and says, "Didn't I only throw three people in there? Why do I see four?" And as you know, an angel of the Lord spared them. And I want to remind you that they walked out with not a single hair on their head singed, no smell of smoke on their clothes, no harm or injury to them whatsoever. And this thought will be on the screen. Weapons will form, but they will not win. You might feel the heat, and let's face it, we have all felt the heat at times in our lives, but you won't be burned. The shield of faith that is talked about in Ephesians 6:16 extinguishes every fiery dart of the enemy. So I want to go back to Psalm 91:3 again and talk a little bit about the trap. It says, "Surely he will save you from the fowler's snare or trap and from the deadly pestilence." I didn't really think about this a whole lot until I started doing my research, but a fur trapper actually travels deep into the mountains to bait steel traps in strategic places, hoping that some unsuspecting animal will step into that trap. Folks, this is a picture of what the enemy does to us. That's why he's often called the trapper. And let me tell you, the traps set for us by the enemy are not there by accident. It's as if they have our name on them. They're custom named, custom made, placed and baited specifically for each one of us. And like an animal caught in a trap, it can be a very slow, painful process. You don't die instantly. You're ensnared until the trapper comes to destroy you. And we know we have an enemy who comes to kill, steal, and destroy. The enemy knows what will most likely hook us, and he knows exactly which thought to put into our minds to lure us into his trap. That's why Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 2:11 that we are not to be ignorant of the schemes or the trap of the enemy. And again in Ephesians 6:11, he directs us to put on the full armor of God so that we can stand against the devil's schemes. I know many of you moms will relate to this, but as moms, we just have this sense. We know that we know that we know when something is off. And often we will discern dangers that are ahead for our kids before they do. A godly mom walks in spiritual sensitivity, warning and praying when her child doesn't even know why. He's like, "Oh, mom, you're being silly." "No, I know this. I feel this. The Holy Spirit is telling me something's off here." And folks, if you have that kind of mom, that kind of discernment is God-given protection and reflects the heart of our Father. Here's a thought. One of the best benefits of being a child of God is that he will warn us when we're entering into dangerous territory. God's warnings come in various forms. Maybe it's a challenging word from a friend or a parent. Maybe it's a story from one of Pastor's sermons. Maybe it's that still, small voice inside letting you know that something is just not right. Or maybe it is the unavoidable truth of God's word. His warnings are for our good and protection, just like when we crazy moms warn our kids. It's for their good and protection. So why sometimes do we ignore the warning from God? You know, maybe we're just stubborn. Maybe we're just dead set on our own agenda. Maybe we have a plan and darn it, we're sticking to it, even if it's not necessarily God's plan. Or maybe the situation might appear to be good, and we can't possibly understand how anything could go wrong. But that's why his word says, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in the Lord and his ways, and he will direct your path. Or maybe we're caught in pride, and we think we know what's best for us, and we think there's no way this God in heaven could possibly know better than me what's best for my life. Even if deep down maybe we know we're stepping into something that's out of his will or something that's sinful. And folks, self-will and rebellion can keep us out of the secret place of protection because self-will builds a wall between us and God. But praise the Lord, our God is faithful still. How many of you have gotten yourselves into a situation on your own by your own bad decisions, and yet God still rescued, still protected? Because our God stands between you and the storm, and our God provides peace. Exodus 14, 19 through 20 talks about how the angel of the Lord moved between Israel, standing between them and Egypt, a protective covering. God himself, God places himself between us and what would destroy us. And sometimes when we look back, what didn't happen is often our greatest miracle. There are things we want so badly, and we think, why didn't God give me that? Why didn't God let that happen? And then maybe years later, we look back and go, oh, that was his way of protecting me. Thank you, Jesus, for that protection. And you know, when Jesus was asleep in the boat during the storm, which is in Mark 4, 35 through 41, we are reminded that peace is not the absence of the storm, but the presence of the protector. Let me say that again, folks. Peace is not the absence of the storm. This life is not storm-free, but peace comes from the presence of our protector. And that's what Pastor was challenging us these last couple weeks, hungering for more of his presence. Psalm 32, verse 7 says, you are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. And John 16, 33 says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Read that again. So that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. And Jesus is speaking this to his disciples shortly before his crucifixion. And I really had this jump out at me. Again, another scripture I've read so many times. But notice that he says, take heart. He doesn't say, take matters into your own hands. He doesn't say, take control. He said, take heart. Because taking heart is not a posture of self-help or I can fix this or let me get in there and see how I can work this out myself. But take heart is a posture of humility and acknowledging that we are nothing without the grace and protection of God. We are nothing without his presence. And take heart is a posture of prayer, Moms, it can be so hard, especially as your kids continue to grow. There are times when they are completely out of your sight. They're not that little baby that you're rocking to sleep anymore. They're at school, and bad things can happen at school, and we can't live in constant fear, but we don't have to, because we can take heart and know that our prayers protect our children, because we're praying to a sovereign God that loves them billions of times more than we do. So folks, take heart. God can do so much more with our surrender than we can do with our control. I can't take credit for this. I heard it on the radio, but let me say it again. This just grabbed a hold of me. It's actually over my desk at work. God can do so much more with our surrender than we can do with our control. Real peace does not come from the outcomes, but from confidence in God's presence, for He is our peace. Amen? Amen. I'm sure there's no one here who doesn't remember where you were on 9/11, if you were alive or old enough to be watching television when you saw those planes hit the towers. There's probably no one here that can't instantly remember where you were and what you were feeling. And there is an amazing story. I know there are many stories, but this story just kind of blew me away how it fit with the message today. And I'll read some of it and paraphrase other parts of it. But on September 11th, 2001, a woman named Janelle Guzman McMillan was working on the 64th floor of the North Tower of the World Trade Center. When the building was hit, chaos obviously erupted, and she and several co-workers, not really knowing what was going on, but just knowing they needed to get down, began descending the stairs, trying to escape. So 64 is where they started. When they got to the 13th floor, the remaining part of the tower collapsed. She was buried alive under the rubble, trapped, unable to move, surrounded by darkness. Oh, talk about fear and crushing debris. For 27 hours, she laid there alone, injured, and certain she would die. But in the midst of her despair, and I like to say, but God prodded her in the midst of her despair, she began to pray, and she said, God, please help me. I don't want to die. Please save me. And she repeated over and over and over, you are my only protector now. You are my only protector now. Suddenly, she felt a hand grab her through the rubble, and a voice spoke to her so audibly, she said, and it said, Janelle, I've got you. You're going to be okay. That hand did not let go of hers until the rescuers fully uncovered her and pulled her out. She was the very last person pulled out alive from the rubble of the World Trade Center. And to this day, no one said, that was my hand. That's because we know it was God. That was God that was with her. When everything fell around her, literally everything fell around her, God's presence held her together. The hand she felt in the darkness was God's way of reminding her, I will not leave you and I will not forsake you. So I want to encourage you today as I get ready to close that it doesn't matter where you're at, whether you're a mom or not a mom, a grandma, not a grandma, God's protection is for every one of us who call upon the name of the Lord. And to every mother here today, I want to encourage you that your protective prayers, your fierce love, and your relentless faithfulness are not forgotten. They are seen by your God. You're not only nurturing children, you are mirroring the heart of God, who is our ultimate protector. And to every one of us, no matter our age, we are still under the shadow of the Almighty. He is watching and covering and protecting us even now. So ladies, I know how hard it is to be a mom. I've got four. And it can be overwhelming, and fear can overtake us. But as I said earlier, we have got to come out of agreement with the lies that the enemy is speaking over us. And if you are battling depression or anxiety or just feeling lack today, or like you don't have what it takes to be a good mom, to be a good spouse, to be a good friend, I want to encourage you. So I'm going to close with the song that God gave me that I had saved 3 years ago called Protector. And I'm going to ask the moms, actually I'm going to ask all the women to come down. And I just want to encourage you to pray over one another and to declare today that you are going to speak in agreement the truth of God's word over your life. That you are going to drown out those lies of the enemy. And that you are going to walk under the protective covering of your Lord God Almighty, who loves you more than you can possibly know. So I want to encourage you to come down this morning and be comforted and shadowed and overwhelmed by the protector of your soul and by the protector of your family. Let's do that this morning. I come out of agreement with the lie that you have left me on my own.